Welcome to Free Time with the Catman,
with your host,
Cat Ishikawa.
This show is about
power.
Hello, Clive.
Ah, come on in, Chester.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Hey, you're just in time to help me check out this new model government.
Yeah,
they just brought it down, and they say it explains everything.
Well, you know, it sure is big.
Hey, well, look over there in the left end. That's where you work. There in the Bureau of Western Mythology.
By golly, we're at proud service of the Lost Electricity Reclamation Agency, Senator.
Yeah, well, the LES is under the left... I think I'll just plug it in.
Oh, right? Well, listen, I'll just use this little plug right down here.
Turn out that plug, Chucko. See?
Oh, that's terrible.
You've got to plug in the
goodness.
Female.
Yeah.
Listen to it. Teaches you, huh?
Yeah.
Half of what comes in here?
Must go out there.
Righto. Let's see what it does with this fine miniature boxcar of industrial coke.
Okay. Look at that. That's amazing.
Let's see. It's pumped from the Veterans Tap Dance Administration.
Goes up here to the Assistant Secretary of Leftovers.
Flip-flop down to the Secretary of Covers.
Right. Now watch it go now. Around the Department of Spies.
Into the office of the Secretary of Failure himself, wouldn't you know? That's shoes for industry, Charlie.
And it's food for thought, you know, Mr. Brown?
Yeah, but we're talking about power, Chucko.
Well, I know you are. You wouldn't be here.
Oh, look at that.
Yes, sirree.
It heard the word power, and it responded just like we do.
You know, I try to think, what is the story of the canon? You know, what is this single story? And it has to do with power, don't you think?
God, you said power, and he responded. It
just like you.
Like they all do.
Yes.
That's why I connect the radio shows, the Let's Eat radio shows. Which
I would say power is right.
Also are dealing with the effect of power. And, of course, then we make a jump in the second group the second chapter of Firesign would then be from about 73 onward to the end of the decade, 72-73, and if you listen to The Giant Rat of Sumatra, of course, the electrician appears as an actual character, or maybe just as a costume,
or
the electrician, and that has to do with the pursuit of power, and as a matter of fact, Hemlock Stones pursues the electrician all the way back to the United States, to the acme of power, Mr. Acme, Jonas Acme and his company. I think they're the ones who make all of those things that Wile E. Coyote tries to use. That's the same Acme, the giant Acme company. They made a terrible beer called Acme beer. They were into everything, Jonas was.
Let my mouth dry.
Hey, all you fireheads, this is Cat. 37 years after he began his radio career on WBAI in the Big Apple, the Firesign Theater's David Osman discussed the importance of the theme of power in the work of the Firesign Theater. He was talking with former head firehead Elaine, creator of the Firesign zine 4-Alarm Fire Signal in the 80s, and the online Firesign chat in 1995, which continues every Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. The interview was hosted by Jim Freund of BAI's long-running science fiction show, Hour of the Wolf.
Come up into the hills.
This is the Hour of the Wolf news. Big light in skies later to appear in east. Sonic booms scare minority groups in Sector B. And there's hamburger all over the highway in Mystic, Connecticut.
Look at the mouth of that gift horse.
Senator Dudley, have you met Boyle M. Owl, president of the Bowel Oil Company?
How do you do?
How do you do what?
That's a great joke. Say, didn't we spend a weekend at Ted Klamstruck's Nig Island Retreat?
That's right. It's with Prickett Paddock.
Remember the brush was there, the writer's wife?
The pipe.
That was the weekend we played Hide the Housekeeper.
Right, an old body lost.
Yeah, she's still lost. Well, gentlemen, ladies, fellow rich people. I see that both of Mickey's hands are pointing to 12. That means... Oh, shut up, Dud. I see that it's now 6 a.m. in Goonrat, where the gumboat Matilda Briggs, under my secret orders, is now docking with a hold full of Dudley Pignuts from the Senator's own Dudley Rubber Company, which I own.
You know, those natives have to have a constant supply of pignuts or they go out of their
heads. Yes, yes. Well, you see, this move diverts the world's supply of genuine pignut oil to the Chicago breweries of our good friend here, Boyle M. Owl, who I own.
I'm proud to be an owned man.
Yes, 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 yes. And with that much oil beer in the American working man, he'll be more than glad to turn out the lamps of the world.
You carry the big whip.
Wick. That's a wick. The Acme Whip Wick.
Why, that little gadget will blacken peasants' houses throughout the globe.
And where there's smoke, there's work. Yes, 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 yes.
We wrote this piece based on the concept of people oppressed by power, any power, any political authority, any governmental authority, any dictatorship, any kind, anybody telling you basically what to do and how to do it, just control. And I think that one of the first things we agreed on in our brainstorming sessions was that we would begin the record and end the record in a loop. I don't know if we decided exactly how we were going to do that, but I know that that was very appealing to us all. And this being the first project that we had ever really written together, you know, all of the other work that we did together was improvisational, so that we'd each come in with a, we'd like agree on the assignment of what it was we were going to portray, and then each one of us would work independently to create a character or characters that would embody some aspect of the idea, and then we would all live on the radio reveal our characters to one another, and out of that would come usually some pretty entertaining interaction, always based on the art of put-on. And in fact, to me, the Firesign Theater in essence represents the art of put-on carried to the ultimate degree in terms of its theatricality or improvisation. Because I remember that no matter how far out we would carry a premise when we were working on the radio, if we were tied into any phone lines and we could get input from the audience, we discovered that the audience would go way out there with us. As long as they bought the initial premise, we could take them as far into outer space as we wanted to. We could be as outrageous in the ideas and characters we were portraying as we wanted to be, and they believed us. Now, that was both a wonderful and terrifying revelation, because it showed me, at least, and I think you too, David, I can perhaps speak for all of us, it showed us the awesome power of the radio. It showed us the extent to which people were, well, either using drugs or just plain brainwashed, and how they would basically follow any line that you threw them. So a lot of electrician, to me, at least the flip side of the record, the main part of the story, comes out of that kind of thinking and a desire on our part to break the hold of that kind of thinking on the body politic, on the people who make up a nation or a country or a city or a neighborhood, so that they start thinking for themselves and realizing that they basically can appreciate a life of freedom if they choose to live such a life.
This is the midst of the disillusionment and heartbreak season, and with a recent outbreak of that suicidal strain of despair up in Boston, well, you'd better keep a close watch on your emotions. So remember the 7 danger signals of depression. As a general and lasting feeling of hopelessness, inability to concentrate, loss of self-esteem, fear of rejection, misdirected anger, feelings of guilt, and extreme dependency on others. At the first sign of these symptoms, friends, follow these simple rules. Keep working, drink as much as possible, and take your television's advice. And you know, more TVs recommend an amazing new psychic breakthrough than any other, and that's confidence in the system. Fast, safe and guaranteed by constant federal control, confidence in the system will keep them in power longer, 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 and tend to calm and obscure the miseries of disillusionment and despair. Confidence in the system, In easy-to-swallow propaganda form, a new fast-acting thought control. So have some today.
Welcome, friend. Come on in and set a spell. It's that time of year again in little old Cable Town. And yes, that night is coming again. The night of horror and fear. The night of doom and death. The night of things seen speeding across the moon. Of horrible words crawling across the bottom of the screen.
Rumors flying, stocks ticking, markets so obscure you'll never know what those numbers mean.
Facelifted celebrities writing books about celebrities getting facelifts.
Guys in suspenders who know everybody with facelifts, interviewing celebrities who deny they've had facelifts.
Yes, our little town is spooked. It's a mystery. The cable of Cable Town that holds us together is itself to be feared. Wisps of things moan across the cornfields. The nights are black. The frozen orange leaves are cracking underfoot.
Children abducted, celebrities shoplifting and murdering.
Politicians covered up, hiding out.
News crews shooting.
Oh, but for you outside of Cable Town, life is simple and beautiful. Only razor blades and candy, outhouses heaved over, eggs hurled at cars. But in Cable Town, it's all...
Purple! Crossfire!
Larry King! What can be done? Well, don't turn off the TV. What the heck good would that do?
Don't stop worrying about things that are worlds away.
Don't bother to read anything.
Don't stop listening to every rumor and repeating it. Welcome to our little town, where it's Halloween all year round. Cable Town is what we're called, so come on in. Set a spell. Turn up the volume.
Police state!
Police state!
Help! It's the police!
Policemen, real policemen, it's policemen will become.
Who's number one?
Peacemen, yes, we're peacemen, even though we wear a gun.
It's all in fun.
Police state, where green rookies become hardened men in blue, where danger wears a diploma and crime gets taught the lesson it deserves. Listen now as the Federal Bureau of Marijuana, in cooperation with Crime Lord Magazine, presents challenge number 13, Roach Patrol at Police State.
Ask the hands that serve the machines of America. Hey, ask these thousands of folks here who wouldn't say no to yesterday, or yes instead of knowing at all.
Ask the postman.
Hi, Mr.
Ask the mailman. Ask the milkman. White with foam.
Ask the cop on the corner.
Ask the cop in the grocery store.
Ask the cop in the woodpile.
Ask the cop on the rooftop.
Ask that cop that's knocking at your back door. Ask him.
Mr. Policeman, what makes America great?
Hate cops, Guido. I always hate cops.
Yeah, Nick, I hate cops too.
Yeah, me too.
I'll tell you guys what I'm gonna do. I'll tell you what I'm gonna get. Even with every rotten cop in this city.
Yeah, me too.
How are you gonna do it, Nick?
How are you gonna do
it? You know what I'm gonna do?
No, what you gonna do, Nick?
I'm gonna turn in my badge.
I'm gonna burn my uniform.
J. Edgar Hoover. Was he a conscious target or just one of a long list of people you spoofed?
Oh, I think he very much represented American power divorced from any responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I myself had an experience growing up in which my uncle had been a conscientious objector during the Second World War on
mm-hmm.
religious grounds,
mm-hmm.
although it wouldn't have mattered what his grounds were as far as I was concerned. And I had grown up with the knowledge that my Uncle Paul had been hounded out of jobs by FBI agents coming by and saying, you don't want this man, he's a security risk. He's un-American.
Yeah.
And that had made me so righteously angry when I was young. You know, you grow up and you think, well, why are they doing that?
It's
outrageous. It's not fair. Right. It's not fair. And so I think growing up that I always had a real sense of the unfairness of the power centers of mm-hmm. government. I mean, and Hoover was always kind of a subject of comedy. I mean, his name is a vacuum cleaner to begin with. That was funny. J. Eager Beaver, we called him. That was another name that we used for the Who. And he was certainly the most recognizable American, all-American policeman in an era of American cops yeah. running around trying to subdue the world.
All right, everybody. It's a little song. Now, thank you very much. A little song I learned upstream in prison one day. Everybody sing along now. Ready now?
Hey, all you bozos and bozoettes. This is the Catman, Kat Ishikawa, here on Firesign Theater Radio. This is from Steve Allen's three-hour NPR show, Back from the Shadows, recorded in 1993. Steve combined his interviews with the four Firesigns with cuts from various Firesign albums. Of course, somebody as wonderfully wacky as Steve Allen would be a big fan of the Firesign Theater. J. Edgar Hoover, however, was not a fan.
Praise the Who! Praise the Who!
I told the prison I'd remain as long as my physical condition permitted. We have employees in the Bureau who are in their 80th. I've always been against retiring a man by age. The longer a man is with us, the more valuable he becomes.
Well, well.
I base it all on that. It's all there. It's all there.
Speak yes. up.
There's someone at the door.
Mr. Hoove?
What,
Agent XY13,
Get on with it, get on with it.
Well, here's
listen,
my card,
listen,
anyway.
he's old, tired, but he's good.
Let me sit down here.
Oh,
God, poor old feller fell right down.
Grab you under the leg.
You wouldn't know to look at him, would you, that this was the agent that busted up Machine Gun Kelly.
Well, what do you say? Okay, XYZ, give you a report and split as quickly as possible. I'm busy. I want to bet.
I trailed that suspect. Down the street, past that hotel.
Which hotel?
I wrote it down here somewhere.
All right, silly old. It's in your notebook.
The adult bookstore hotel. And he went upstairs, and I waited on a bench. I sat down, and I just waited until.
And then you came here.
I woke up and came right here. I think he's still there.
How long you been with the Bureau?
2 weeks now.
Just 2 weeks?
Yeah.
You're one of our longest and most loyal employees.
That I can remember.
That you can remember. those many long days that you can't remember
actually,
at all.
Actually, I'm kidding, as you know, sir.
You ought to get a couple of dogs, you know. That's the way to keep fit.
Yes, you have dogs,
right.
Don't you?
That's right. Just, I got a couple of dogs, yeah.
Tell me about them.
Well, they ain't nothing. I get they got two of them. One's named Chocolate Cream. The other one's named Custard Pie. Just a couple of dogs I got. And they're the only ones that understand me, you know. The Nick, he don't understand me. I can't get my kicks off the Nick, so
You'll
I get my
back.
Kicks off the dog.
You'll kick back?
Kick
Nick?
Back off the Nick's, right. Well, the Nick's has got a hex on the mech, as you know, right?
Yeah.
So all the sex and the text, man, they left him. So I got confused and decided I'd just get it on with the dogs.
Oh, who?
We sit there. They drink. I don't, you know.
You're so hep.
Tips Hotline, this is Anthrax, Ashcroft.
Mr. Ashcroft, I'd like to report some suspicious activity.
Are you a loyal American trucker, letter carrier, train conductor, ship captain, utility employee, or other?
Sir, I'm a loyal American meter reader other out here on Crystal Meth Road in Elmertown, and I'm getting a big surge of power in a residence out here.
Good tip. If it's an indoor pot factory, we can take it out with a weed-seeking Rocky Max 2, but it could be men of the desert persuasion.
Who?
Arab, son, pumping up the heat to simulate their homeland conditions. Look, tipster, can you take somebody into custody or something?
No, sir. I just read the numbers going around the little windows and
that's more than they'll let me do. Listen, this conversation is strictly Orange Alert Sub Rosa, and I'm not even talking to you, right?
Anything you say.
I didn't say anything.
Right.
Now get inside and see if they'll offer you one of those little cups of sweet coffee.
Sir, I don't drink coffee.
Then would you wave, please?
Huh?
Look up and wave.
Okay.
Say cheese.
Limbaugh.
Got it. Now, you'd better leave the area, tipster, so as not to incite any collateral damage. The Immigration Ranger Squat Squad is only minutes away.
Sir, can I get a copy of my picture?
Of course you can. It's all part of Operation Tips, your volunteer Homeland Terrorism Information and Prevention System. Train now to be the extra legal eyes and ears that the feds need to get up close and personal with neighborhood terrorists. It's toll-free, 1-555-666-TIPS.
best review I ever read on the Fireside Theater was in Rolling Stone, when a guy wrote in to say that he would be listening to us in the rice paddies in Vietnam with the bullets flying over his head on his earphones. It was the only thing that kept him sane. I liked that review because I got to tell you, the Fireside Theater, as I see it, can't speak for all four of the guys, but I think it's very true, were a platoon of guerrillas from 1968 to 1973. We fought the Holocaust in Vietnam, and we won. And we all are the walking wounded because of it. We are veterans. We are truly Vietnam veterans. People didn't spit on us because we spat first. But we were guerrillas, and I honor us for that. I think we ought to get ribbons, small ribbons that we could wear in the lapels of our tank tops.
That was the wizard Peter Bergman in conversation with Steve Allen from the Back from the Shadows show in 1993. This is The Catman on Firesign Theater Radio.
But I gotta tell you something. Everybody's got a gorilla inside him.
I've had enough of these superficial cynical answers. Here's a serious question for you. Have we started the Third World War?
No, not at all. It's just another war against the Third World. Except now they're fighting back.
That's not fair.
So you think it's justified?
Well, of course. We believe in the separation of church and state.
Yes, yes.
We're just separating their church from their state with ordnance.
Mm. Hey. I got a good one here.
Yeah?
How do you make a terrorist laugh?
Oh, how do you make a terrorist laugh? Bomb on stage.
Oh, well, thank you, Tinkles. I think you just did.
And I'm welcome.
And so, with the invention of the motor-operated pushover, man
and science
invented life here
today
in the future.
Man, woman,
and babies.
All is plugged into the grid of power.
Power.
Before the beginning, there was this power.
And the power was alone.
And it looked around, and it saw its opposite.
Which was off.
And it screwed itself into its opposite.
And behold,
it turned them on.
And their union grew all day.
Like a bridge.
And it grew.
And it grew.
And it grew.
Until.
Classified. Ultra secret. Air Force generals only. Ten Hut. At ease, men. Take your seat.
This is General Curtis Goathart. If you are viewing this film, then we are under extraterrestrial attack. Beware. Your brain may no longer be the boss. If you are beginning to doubt what I am saying, you are probably hallucinating. Listen carefully.
What to do if an alien appears? What?
Drop under the seat of your plane and look away.
Two.
Avoid eye contact.
Three.
If there are no eyes, avoid all contact.
How to identify alleged sightings. One.
Pie plates or as reflections in the atmosphere.
Two.
Dry cleaning bags filled with marsh gas or...
Three.
Mass insanity.
How to inform your wife and others under your command.
Can I freshen that up for you? Oh, she gets it. She gets it in Nepal. Well,
Honey, she's related to the honey people at the TX, though.
Well, General?
Honey and men, I have something awesome to reveal to you.
Oh, well, go ahead, sir.
Go ahead.
Two flying saucers have just landed on my plate.
Well... Well, turn away, sir. I'll eat them.
Good day. Men, our greatest fear is realized. We are under attack from superior consciousness.
The eggs, sir?
They're only the beginning. All right, men. Questions?
Sir?
Yes, Major?
Pass the syrup, General?
That's a good idea, Chuck. But syrup won't stop them.
But,
next.
Sir?
Colonel?
Are you nuts?
That is just exactly what they want you to believe.
The, eggs, sir?
Let's just call them the phenomena.
Well, if I may respectfully submit, sir, I think you've got your phenomena scrambled, General.
What about my eggs, dear?
Honey, they're in everybody's eggs.
Good Lord, you know... You're making me cry, you know. Another cup of coffee, sir. Settle down a bit.
Conclusion!
They think he is insane. Yet, he outranks them. His option, command.
What?
He seals off the area.
Two.
Secures the cooperation of local officials.
Three.
Obtains expert scientific assistance.
Four.
Evacuates all government employees.
Five.
And bombs aliens back to Stonehenge.
End of film.
As this memorable broadcast from the Olympic Auditorium in Hochstaffel, Bavaria, a blistering day in August 1932. 23. The exciting scene of the first famous sports broadcast, the Schmeling Herring Fist Fest.
I'm in the back of this great big auditorium where the great big white man and the great big black man are training a tremendous series of great big punches. Oh, and Herring's down in the sauce. The white man is down, and the German is up, and they're raining terrific blows on the black man. Now they're pummeling the gypsies and the Jews. Oh, band of brothers! And here comes the Spanish air farce. Oh, it looks like a rehearsal for the final solution. Oh, those Spanish flyboys are so sexy. Schmeling is circling, but now the referee, a feisty little fellow with a funny-looking mustache, he's stopping the fight. He's raising his right arm in a stiff salute for silence. Oh. Everyone in the hall is doing the duck. I mean, doing the same.
Sieg Freud.
I think Sieg they're
Freud.
All asking to leave the Sieg room. Freud. So it appears from Biscarton Hall that round one goes to the Jerrys.
Man, was that exciting. But eventually there were discouraging words from the piss vest.
Hold up, boys. We've been waiting for you out there. God bless you, Miss Lolene.
Let me see that telegram, will you? Honey, that's from Washington, D.C.
Oh, Maury, my mascara is running. You read it for me.
All right. Sit down, Lolene. This may be rough. Honey?
Yes?
The President of the United States is named Schickel Gruber.
I'm going out there, Maury. Help me into this parachute.
No, honey. You can't
Help
go out
me.
There. It's too late.
Sit
I'm telling
me up.
You.
It's no. never too late, Maury. I'm going out there because I'm bringing the war back home.
All right, boys. All right. Quiet down now. Here she is. That lovely piece of cake we've all been waiting for. We'll kill the bees and spiders and flies, and we won't play in ice boxes lying on the sides. And wash our hands after we leave.
like to express our appreciation to the United States Marines, the British Commonwealth Occupation Forces, the French Legume, and the Hong Kong Fireworks Company, without whom all of this would not have been necessary.
I used to do a show on KIEV Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
Kiev Radio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. With Yuri Gagarin.
It was a country and western radio show. Did you ever hear my show?
Kiev.
Marine Private Von Filkins. You never heard. It was called something like Country and Western. Country and. Your Army Reserve Country and Western Show or something like that. It was something really kind of inspired like that. And we played Ferlin Husky and this old sergeant I had in the Army named Sergeant Louis Illuminato, who was indeed an enlightened man, as far as I've been able to determine. He was like a Zen monk, man. The cat was just incredible. He was so spaced. And he was my sergeant, and he thought that I was his son. My hair kept getting longer and longer, and I kept getting in more and more trouble with the Army. But Sergeant Louis Illuminato still considered me basically his son. It never made any difference to him what I did. He liked me because I did the country and western show.
That's a good reason to like somebody.
That was the whole story of my Army career. I was crazier than hell, man. But those old crazy drunken Army sergeants, I always got along really good with those guys.
Sergeant Imperial.
Sergeant Imperial. Peter had a good one. Yeah.
Mine was Sergeant Imperial. That's right. Sergeant Imperial was a Cancer. No, he was a Leo, man. And he knew that everybody called him Frog, and he lived off of that fact, and everybody called him Frog became part of that thing. You know, they'd sit there and they'd go, here comes the Frog, grib it, and he'd get out there and look like a frog. The man really did look like a frog, bless him.
You know, we're the last generation, man, maybe you and I, at least specifically, to be in the Army. Basically, it is our job to pass on information of a body or useful nature to people who'll never have to go through what we did. Because, like, I certainly hope that no young man in this day and age is going in, for God's sake. I mean, certainly I would hope you're not doing it.
You don't have to. You know.
No, you don't have to do it, man. And we'll tell you about it. If you feel that there's anything that you may be missing, we're perfectly available at any time to sit around and tell you gory old Army stories, but there's no need to do it yourself.
Secret number one, it's not going to be public, which is you don't have to cut your hair. All reservists, attention, all reservists, beep, 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 driving home from hell. This is Sunday, right?
Oh, this is
you don't have to cut your hair.
Yeah,
no,
you guys,
further.
See, let me tell them about Catch-23, man.
Yeah.
The Army, if you do something weird, like letting your hair grow, which Bergman and I both did, which got us out, because then they think that you're crazy because you don't want to cut off all your hair and stand around in straight lines. They won't really do anything bad to you, but all you've got to do is convince them that you really don't agree with them. They call that crazy. And
being yourself.
Being weird, right. And it will either get you special privileges for being crazy. Like when I went to summer camp once, they wouldn't let me pull KP. They wouldn't let me do it because
hair
my
was
hair
too
was
long.
Too long,
right.
And it was dirty.
Gets
you
caught
see.
In the drains.
You get into interesting situations like that, and cause a lot of ruckus, and feel somehow as if you're doing something for the revolution, or carry a little farther, and you just get out. They just let you out eventually, saying, "Oh well," because they don't really want you, man, and they especially wouldn't want you if you started acting weird.
I don't mean to foment revolution or anything like that.
We've got 537 overstrength by 5% men in this unit, and Mr. Bergman. This Army has never lost a war, and it's not going to lose a war to you.
The reservist can't say anymore that he's not involved, not after Kent State or anything like that. It's really hard. I'm
involved in what?
I'm
involved
like a,
in what, Phil?
I'm an Aries, man. I'm on an Army non-recruiting trip, right?
The fact is, yeah.
Your
right.
Army non-recruiting
if I were straight, I'd be in the Army, and since I'm not straight, I tend to recruit
too,
people
you?
For the anarchist Army, right? I'm dangerous.
The anarchist Army. Anybody who comes up in for basic training is out.
Right. Anybody who stands in a straight line has to go home.
Listen, I mean, like, if you're inside the Army and you've signed a contract and you're going by their law, then take a look at the law if you must and find out what they can't do to you. It's a bluff. It's a four-card. It's called a four-flush. You know the word four-flush? It means
yeah,
four to a flush.
Yeah.
It means that fifth card they ain't got.
Yeah?
They can't send you to Vietnam. They can't put you into the bowels of death for you know, growing your hair. They'll offer you out.
Yeah, they will indeed. Because they know who hippies are, and they know they don't want hippies, and they know that they... See, really, in the Army, really the whole idea is having a jolly good time.
The Army is for people
who want to
be in it.
It's having everybody who all feels good, and they all like to get out there in uniforms and do that. And the minute you show them that you don't want to do that, well, they will indeed let you out.
Sure, because otherwise you will become a special thing, a martyr in spite of yourself, and they can't stand to have that in the unit.
They want
to
have a good time.
They want to have a... They want the guys there who want to be there, so they can sit around and all agree to bitch, at least. They like to bitch, right?
They like to do that.
They like to bitch, but...
They like to camp out every summer and get away from their wives.
Yes, man, and they love to drink beer together.
It's the junior fascist league. It's just like...
And they don't like to you know, to get drunk and scream about the hippies. They'd rather get drunk and sing about the good old days, like poor old Adolf Hitler. Whatever happened to Adolf? Let them be sent. Let them be
good
sent.
Good old Adolf.
Whatever happened to El Alamein?
Yeah.
You know.
And Eisenhower and Adolf, the great Germans.
The great Germans.
Hitler and Eisenhower. Well, God, they were great.
Oh, they're beautiful people.
And Franklin Roosevelt, the greatest Jewish German general. God, he was
gave
wonderful.
Gave us a war I'll never forget.
Oh, what a wonderful war. These young kids, they don't want to die in the war.
Okay.
What's wrong with them?
Okay.
Well, okay. Well, we won't have them out here.
Let us live outside of it, then.
Let's fix them. Let's send them all home.
We'll send them home.
We'll all send them all home.
I can't
then,
do it.
Then it'll just be you and me and Ferguson and West Virginia and Alabama and all the old boys and the old outfits. And we'll get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And we'll be uncomfortable and we'll bind ourselves into tight uniforms that are all starched. And we'll clean everything up and then we'll be happy.
Right, and we'll wear khaki, so nothing.
And we'll salute each other even in bed at night as we wrap our arms around each other and sob ourselves.
One final mushroom of agony. Sir,
slowly,
Charlie,
sir.
Pick four.
Yes, come on in, come on in.
Private Parts reporting for duty, sir.
Private Parts, we have a message for you to inform the rest of all the youngsters.
Tell them, Lord.
Tell them to go home. We don't want them.
Home, sir?
Go home. Yeah, just go home. We don't need them.
Golly gee.
With their
sideburns. Get the hell out of here.
Just get the hell out.
I've
we
never
don't
heard them
care.
Talk like that before.
Just go on out of here. We don't love you anymore.
That's an order.
You don't want to die for your country?
Yes,
what good are you?
Sir.
Yeah, you bet you.
Do I have to take any orders anymore?
No, no, man. No. You don't have to.
I don't have to say
man.
Yes, sir, or no, sir,
no,
anymore.
No, just
no, sir.
Go away,
just get
Daddy-O.
Go away.
Daddy-O.
Reed Jackson.
Yeah, Reed Jackson.
Split.
Dig
well,
private.
just, wait,
you guys,
just,
but you guys, split. I thought I was going to learn a trade.
No,
I'll
trade you. I'll trade you my uniform for your discharge.
And last year, Patty, you and the viewers will be interested in noting that the world ended.
As we know it, Hugh.
You're darn tootin', Patty.
I sure am.
Say, who was born today?
Nobody, Hugh.
I mean in history, Patty, before they changed the water.
Hey, Sarge.
Yeah?
How long have Pico and Alvarado been out on patrol?
Since 1400.
Jeez, that's 2,000 years.
I hope they can find their way back. I'm getting hungry.
Hit the dirt! Look out! Was that one of ours?
Yeah. Beans. Last of the beans.
I'm so tired of Chinese food.
Hey, Sergeant Medetsky, come over here. We got a problem.
Yeah? What is it, Lieutenant Tirebiter?
Silverberg here won't go over Pork Chop Hill.
Killing pigs ain't kosher, Sarge.
Oh, canned a wise lip, Silverberg. None of us ain't going nowhere until that patrol gets back.
Talk.
Personally, I'm worried about Pico and Alvarado.
Well, don't make a career out of it.
Don't let it get to you, Lieutenant.
I'm all right, Medetsky. Listen, those good boys found their way out of East L.A. They can find their way back into this Goop Valley, right?
Sarge, something's moving out in the woods.
Where?
At Sector N.
Okay, give them the password, Sarge.
Yeah, I better disguise my voice. Hey, Joe! Who won a second world war, you so smart?
Not responsible! Park and lock it!
Hey, it's okay, sir. That's Pico and Alvarado.
All right.
Come on in, boys.
Hey, 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 don't run into trenches.
Hi, you guys.
Ah! Oh! Watch out for that entrenching tool.
All right, stand easy, men.
Help me up.
How was it out there?
Weird. We've been shooting reds and yellows all day.
Oh, boy, am I sleepy.
What about the gooks?
Bad news, Lieutenant. There are gooks all around here.
They live here, Lieutenant. They got women and pigs and gardens and everything.
I was talking to this one little gook.
I was talking
to
that's
swell, Corporal Kid. But we got orders to surround these little gooks.
That'll be easy, Lieutenant. There's millions of them on all three sides of us.
That means we got those little gooks right where we want them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and tonight's the planting moon. Several one of them is going to be out waiting in the paddies.
Me too.
Hey, this sounds like a perfect setup. What are we going to do, Lieutenant?
What are we going to do, Lieutenant?
What are we going to do, Lieutenant?
All right. Men, we're going to deploy at 0800.
Check.
Recon all LOM sectors.
Check.
Bring up the 455s.
Pull.
Locate our fire perimeters.
Bonk.
Make a clean sweep. Flush out the enemy and...
What's that, sir?
Sir, Lieutenant, excuse me, sir. What are we going to do, man?
Yeah, after we flush
we're
them out.
We're going to lock and load, Private. And we're going to go out there and...
Hey, man, what are we going to do, man?
Lieutenant, what are we going to do?
Was that the line you took, Lieutenant?
I can't...
Oh, go ahead. You have to answer this one.
I can't remember.
Calm down, my boy. I'm tired of the rest of you not...
kindly instruct your client to stop acting, and you could take a couple of lessons in military toughness yourself.
Yes, and everything went black.
General, I must insist this man is in no condition to replay that.
Well, I can see that, Major. Will the recording sergeant read the scene back to him?
Yes, sir. Alvarado, sir, what are we going to do, man? Matetsky, take it easy, Lieutenant. Tirebiter, we're going to go out there and cut. I can't say it. I'm sorry, but I zip, beep.
Can you remember now, Lieutenant?
Surrogate General Klein, sir. When I signed my contract with you, I fully intended to fulfill its terms with honor, sir. But you never told me I had to go out there and kill anybody.
Lieutenant, we will not tolerate the use of prohibited language in this courts-martials. The accursed will be advised of the absence of his rights under the secret code of military toughness and will act accordingly.
Someone's probably gonna hand me a poison gun. I know it. I mean, I'll just walk out and someone will do that. I think I better stay in.
Stay inside. Yeah, that's stay my inside. Advice to you. Stay inside.
I like to stay inside, basically. Because if I go outside, somebody is going to hand me a bag with some germs in it.
Well, you know, you can get hit by a car crossing the street easier than you can fly in an airplane if you go outside.
I know. And last month, I was in my room, and I was looking out the window, and I saw a woman nearly get killed.
Nearly out in the street, right?
Out the street.
Look out for that monkey! He's got a knife!
Right.
That's terrible. You see, they run by like that all the time out there.
Charles.
That's your husband, Charles?
He's mad out of his mind. Mm. Definitely mad out of his mind. You know what?
Yeah, he's been outside? Is that what it's been outside?
Been outside. Nearly got killed. She just came within 5 feet of getting...
Just could have gotten hit. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. You got to really be careful all the time. I mean, especially when you're walking, you know. You never walk, though, do you?
I went outside last week, and I hadn't walked, like, more than a block, and a guy came up to me, and he handed me an arm.
It's the air. It's the air that does it every time.
Didn't know what.
Get out there, the fog is so thick you can't see your arm in front of your face.
Yeah, you know? No, I couldn't. I mean,
you could.
Handed
he handed
me
it
a
to
soft
you.
Thing and hit, you know, pushed against
yeah.
me. Want it? I didn't know what he was talking about. I was so scared. I thought it was an arm.
It was an arm?
Yeah.
Well, listen, you know, salt of the earth. They'll give you the arm and a leg off their backs, you know. That's what they say.
Yeah, it's the air. So I stay inside, basically.
Sure. You got a view from your place, though, so you can see what's going on? Because nice to watch all those murders down there.
Yeah, well, I nearly saw a guy get killed.
Yeah, well, you can nearly see people get killed every single day. You know that?
Listen, just yesterday, there was a guy crossing from the
right down there.
Radio.
Yeah.
Crossing the street, and he just nearly got hit.
The right turns there are terrible. I've seen cars almost get hit down there 20 or 30 times a day. The tires screech, and you expect to hear a big crunch of metal. And you run out to
Nothing.
The window to take a look,
Nothing.
But it almost happened. You know,
well, that's as
really
bad as I
Peter.
Mean,
yes. Peter, excuse me. Don't play with that pencil near your face. I could put out your eye.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, that could
Thank
really.
You.
Yes.
Thank Gee, you, Charles. Whiz. Thank Gee. You.
You get lead poisoning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, listen.
Hey, Very I dangerous. Saw it once. I remember seeing once driving down the freeway. I saw a 50. I think it was a 56 Chevy,
yeah.
and a one of the, Cutlass
unsafe
crash. No. Oh, yeah, I saw that. Another time, I remember back in 1948, I was driving with my parents once, and I saw a Plymouth and a Ford crash.
Do it?
Oh, yeah, right.
Wipe out?
There were two or three people nearly killed.
Just the other day, the last day.
Don't put your finger in that box. There might be a spider in there.
You're right, there could be. I won't even look.
Yeah, okay, the last day of our record, the day that we finally finished the record. I think we had 7 or 8 days during which we finally finished the record, which is wonderful. That very last day,
don't get your mouth too close to the microphone. You get a shock.
Oh, okay. No, that's all right. I'm not.
Don't get too close to me.
No,
I've got a cold.
I can see that.
I witnessed
the aftermath of a crash. It had just occurred. I was going on Fountain towards Gower.
Oh, well.
And there were two modern cars completely demolished. The front ends were completely demolished. People were streaming out of the houses in the area as though, you know, they'd all heard
this. Well, they all wanted to see it, of course.
Right.
But, you know, they were all late.
Oh, yes, they were. And the drivers of the cars were getting out of the cars, and they were both about 70 years old. A 70-year-old woman with a great figure in pants, you know, and a blouse, and this old man in a suit.
Blind, both of them, probably.
Blind.
Blind. Driving cars totally blind. They're well over 8,000.
Well, you can see, though, if you can see it all.
Yeah,
you can't see. They drive totally off of noise and luck.
Right.
Most of them don't have an accident at all, you know.
But unfortunately, you can't survive in the city unless you have a car.
What?
I can. Right?
Sure you can.
No, you have a car, Peter. Now, you're not walking around yet. You're not using the freeways, but you're not... There he goes. He's walking around. He's surviving, too. Look, he's laughing.
He's breathing heavy.
See, Schopenhauer wins again.
We went to the Golden Dragon restaurant late that night for a snack with a friend of ours and became part and victims of the greatest massacre in the history of San Francisco, the Golden Dragon Massacre. Mm-hmm. Chinese gang came in with submachine guns, shotguns, and pistols, killed 5, wounded 12. We were in the midst of it. Someone at our table, our friend, got a slug in the leg.
Right.
And what it basically did is it stopped us dead on the road, even though we did perform the next
day
in Boulder.
Well, it didn't stop us dead. It just stopped us.
We did perform the next day in Boulder.
Yes.
And no one would believe when we told them what had happened the night before.
Well, we're very bold performers.
But we stopped.
That's right. Now, what had happened was that Peter Bergman was living on my street, on this street that we're recording this little thing on. And Peter was up the street a ways. He came down, and I and my wife, Barbara Samingson, called her doctor and found out that she was pregnant. The rabbit had died, and Proctor and Samingson were living. And Peter came down, and I was very depressed because suddenly my whole life had changed. I now was not a freelance human being. I was somebody who now was committed to raising another human soul on the planet, and to which I was completely committed. And I got depressed. And as we were driving up the street, Peter said to me, "Why are you depressed? You should be happy." I said, "Well, because now I'm responsible." I explained it to him, and he said, "Okay." So we fly up, we do our performance. Now, after the performance, we go to the only place that's open, which was the Golden Dragon. We tried the Trident in
Sausalito.
The Trident in Sausalito, and Dr. Bill Alexander, who was the fellow that Peter was alluding to, we finally ended up, we found a parking place in front of the Golden Dragon, and in we went. We ordered our meal, and I remember the waiter saying, "You got to order fast because we close soon." Little did I know. So we ordered. I was just dipping into my second helping of hot and sour soup when the shooting broke out, and I remember feeling something going over my head, like, you know, this. What was happening was they were shooting the table in front of us, and all of the liquid in whatever they were eating and drinking, whatever, was flying over my head. And I looked up, and I saw a guy in what I thought was a ski mask with a shotgun.
It was a nylon stocking.
It was a nylon stocking with Asiatic features. It looked like, you know, a ski mask. I ducked under the table. Peter looked over his shoulder. He ducked down as well. And for the next, like, minute and a half, there was constant shooting. Bang, 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 bang. And because the guy had his finger on the BAR and did not take it off, and there were shotgun blasts, blam, blam, and pistol blasts, bang, bang, going on at the same time. And I remember thinking, number one, I was angry. I wasn't frightened at all. I was angry because I thought these are some kind of terrorists. There had been the Symbionese Liberation Army had been blowing up the doors at opera houses at that time.
Same day.
Yeah,
and
eat the rich. Right. It was all the kind of the anti-bourgeoisie movement or whatever. And we're sitting there, or we're lying there under the table, praying for our lives. And basically, I was thinking, when the drilling is over, you go home. I had this wonderful image of being in a dentist's office and thinking, well, if I survive this, I go home. And if not, well, it's over.
I had the sense of a crystal cocoon over me.
And Peter also had this image of a bullet like a snake.
Like a worm.
Like a worm.
Coming up between my legs.
Between his legs and going up his spine, like Kundalini power, right. You see. So he was basically the angel, and you also had the image of an angel, covering you with his wings.
Right.
And Peter, who was the most vulnerable to this event, was also spared. And I was spared. I remember I was angry because I thought, I'll never get to see my child. What an irony. I've learned that I've created life, and now I'm facing death. What an irony. And finally, the shooting stopped. They went away.
I jumped up.
Peter jumped up.
Because I'd been in the Army. And well, I knew the ordnance was empty. I could tell from having been on a lot of Army rifle ranges. I jumped up, caught a good solid 45-degree angle of the guy going out and testified and sent him away for life.
Yes, that's right. That's absolutely right. And I got up. And surveyed the situation.
Pools of blood, bodies.
Yes, but the most exciting and interesting thing that I saw was that there was this very beautiful Japanese girl who had been
Chinese.
Oh, she was Chinese girl who had the beautiful straight black Asiatic hair, and it was splayed over her face like a Japanese movie, basically, because there weren't any Chinese movies at that time. And she was she'd been shot in the chest. She survived.
She survived.
But and she was wearing one of those sexy slit skirts. Right. So it was this very bizarre mixture of eroticism and horror over the fact that, this beautiful girl had been shot. And I remember I said to Peter, "Are you okay?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Am I okay?" He said, "Yes." And then we asked Bill, "Are you okay?" He said, "No, I've been shot." And a bullet had apparently a 45 machine gun slug from that terrible weapon had ricocheted off the floor and gone up his leg.
The back of his leg
had just missed his Achilles tendon, which would have crippled him, and was lodged behind his knee. To my knowledge, it still is there.
It's still there. They've never taken it out.
And we took him out and took him to the emergency hospital and stayed with him until we had to leave to go and do our performance the next day.
Which we did.
And I remember we created some special material. Peter said that he had survived because he had the scared prawns.
I ordered the fried prawns, and we went into, and we became scared prawns.
That's right. And he ended up with the scared prawns. And I said something like, when I ordered food to go, I didn't know it might have been me. But when any
of they didn't believe us. Leo Kottke, we were performing with Leo Kottke in Boulder at the university, and they thought we were just making fun.
That's right. Well, we're still making fun, and we will continue on forever in whatever partnerships are offered to us. But the main thing is that there is such a magic between the four of us in whatever combinations manifest themselves that we will obviously continue forever to create immortality in the face of death.
I'm so tired of Chinese food.
Give me immortality! Or give me death. That's the motto here at Ralph's Ball Sports, new and used body shop in the city of the future. Hi, friends. Ralph's Ball Sport here to tell you that everybody must die, but you don't have to be there when it happens. That's why we're having a great going out of body sale. Yes, you can live forever while your friends fall apart around you like rotten fruit. And here's how. Lease an organ or limb from our headless body farm. It's made in America from Americans. Enter the new century with these exclusive clone-ons. Nap velour designer jeans. Deluxe follicle hair mat grafting with upgraded media-sensitive stimulated wrapper filler. Rear roll, non-glossy carbon-intensified glute guards, power moons, and tinted tint grill spoilers in slash dash or faux flannel. So come on down to Ralph's Ball Sports, City of the Future, and do it today, because there may not be a tomorrow.
Hey, everybody out there glued to the Firesign Theater Radio. This is Kat Ishikawa, back from the media shadows again. On June 18, 1970, the Village Voice published an article about the Firesign Theater called "A Vest Has No Sleeves" by Susan Pensy. Here is Phil Austin reacting to the Venerable Old Rags feature on the Firesign.
That's the will of Bill.
If you can't laugh at it, it's got you under its control, says Austin. When you can laugh at something, then you're free. Well, culture does need humor, sometimes, only to relax and breathe easier for a moment. But the particular function of humor in a culture that is gasping from burdens of social and moral contradictions is a more complicated question. Humor reflects culture, offers a fresh, funny view of things and some sweet moments of escapism. And laughter has its momentary liberating qualities. But I think it's liberating only because it's momentary, revitalizing, spontaneous, a truthful, free response. And, quote, revolutionary humor, unquote, should seek to be free, free from conventions, old restrictions of medium, selectivity of subject matter, and from its own structure.
What is she talking?
Even new left writers.
Yeah, right.
No, she doesn't want to be happy.
She doesn't
know
that.
She quoted me correctly.
Hi, this is Peter Bergman, and this is Radio Free Oz for the week of November 21st, 2011.
Occupy Austin! Occupy Austin! Occupy Austin!
I'm being mic checked.
Mic check!
It's not... Oh, oh my God, they're here.
The mic check.
We're here because we're here because we're here because we're here. Some of us are queer!
Really? Are you the 99%? I've suddenly been occupied here.
I'm the quarter.
That's right. You look down at Occupy Wall Street, which has been on television all day, and people are saying, wow, what is that mask of that guy, that funny-looking guy? And it turns out that it's Guy Fawkes.
It's the face of Fox News.
Yes, it's Fox News. We're going to be launching Fox News right now.
Right now.
As the antipope.
As the antipope.
Right.
And it's a mic check. Mic check!
Mic check! 99% of the people are suffering an environmental horror.
An environmental horror.
Yeah, did you see that thing, Dave, where Governor Walker was giving a speech and like a bunch of people that had paid.
Chicago breakfast.
Yeah, and they paid money for it. They were there, real nice. They
just fork.
They stood up and one guy would lead. It was like davening. Yep. I would say, the 99% are not being treated properly.
The 99% are not being treated properly.
This is an oppression that goes beyond environment.
This is an oppression that goes beyond environment.
Yes, you know, and on and on, you know. And the Walker and all those people are like captured here in like the life of the bourgeoisie.
They couldn't even eat their bacon.
No, they were completely frozen because what these guys were saying sounded like kind of Thomas Paine light.
Yeah,
it was good.
It would have been the kind of stuff that you would have written out, you know, and tacked up on the side of barns all over town in the old days.
So now that they're out of the park, and wherever else they're out of that they were in, do you think it makes a difference?
Oh, yes, because it's a new phase in the event.
You're saying yes?
No. We're out of here!
Sounds like the old phase.
Hello, you're on the air.
Peter.
Yes.
Who are you... Who do you have over there with you?
Just a second. Wait, Mike? Who are these guys that are in the studio? You know, like, we can't do that. We gotta, like, just... We can't have more than three people in the studio because of the microphones.
Oh, I think they're, some people from Hollywood Provo.
Yeah, well, You'll have to come back a little later. The thing is, look, I'll put you over to Donna, and she'll take care of you, and you get on the other side of the glass, because we got, I got a guy on the telephone, all right? Would you mind, maybe I can talk to the, hey.
Good evening, Michael.
Good evening, Peter.
And good evening, KPFK audience. At this time, Hollywood Provo presents 2 hours of continuous sign-offs. Station KPFK, listener-supported Pacifica Radio for Southern California, transmits from Mount Wilson with an effective radiated power of 110,000 watts on an assigned frequency of 90.7 megacycles. Provo regrets any temporary discomfort it may have caused Peter Bergman and the night staff of radio station KPFK. KPFK, with offices and studios at 3729 Cahuenga in North Hollywood, now unfortunately concludes this day of broadcasting. Good night and continued good wishes from Provo.
Take heart, dear friends. We are passing through the darkening of the light. We're going to make it, and we're going to make it together. Don't get ground down by cynicism. Don't let depression darken the glass through which you look. This is a garden we live in, a garden seeded with unconditional love. And the tears of the oppressed, and the tears of the frustrated, and the tears of the good will spring those seeds. The flag has been waved. It says occupy. Occupy Wall Street. Occupy the banks. Occupy the nursing homes. Occupy Congress. Occupy the big law offices. Occupy the lobbyists. Occupy yourself. Because that's where it all comes together. I pledge to you, from this moment on, whatever it means, I'm going to occupy myself. I love you. See you tomorrow.
Those were Peter Bergman's last words from his final podcast on March 6, 2012, just before his death. Before those words, the final segment from the day his first radio show was taken over by a prankster anarchist group in 1966. Peter spent his life fighting power and encouraging us all to empower ourselves. Peter may no longer be among the living, but his lessons live on.